So we are in week two of our Unexpected Glory series. This is our Christmas series that we're going through. If you weren't here last week, I'd encourage you to go check out the website, engagechurch.life, and listen to the sermon online so you are caught up and you have reference for some of the things that are shared today. Last week we talked about silence, glory in the silence, and then you can go listen to the sermon to get the rest of it. Today, we're looking at the moments in life when we find ourselves standing at a crossroads. Have you ever been at a crossroad? Have you ever faced a spot where decisions had to be made that felt bigger than your current understanding? What Tim just announced, we have to make a decision that is beyond our understanding, and we have to step out in faith. And these are moments when we don't have all the details. The future is unclear. Certainty seems out of reach. We have no idea if we're making the right decision or not. And often, all we are left with is a simple choice. And that choice is this: to either step forward in trust or step back in fear. And I'm going to submit to you today that what we need to do, and listen, this had nothing to do with I'm going to encourage you today that you need to step forward in trust. And we're going to see how there's glory in the surrender. And what makes these moments significant is that we rarely realize how much of it depends on our response, our willingness to respond. We don't usually see the full cost of us saying yes. We don't understand the fallout that comes when we make that decision. And we can't imagine the full impact. It's impossible to know the full impact that our yes may have. But if you've spent any time reading your Bible, you will know throughout Scripture and even throughout your own life, some of the greatest expressions of God's glory appear on the other side of a surrendered yes. Do you follow what I'm saying? Some of the greatest expressions of God's glory appear on the other side of a surrendered yes. Throughout Scripture, we see that the Lord calls ordinary people into extraordinary stories. We see Abraham, we see Noah, we see Joseph, we see Moses, Isaiah. These are people that were ordinary that the Lord called and used them in extraordinary ways. And their surrendered yes becomes the doorway for the Lord's redemptive work. Their yes becomes the doorway. And so today you might wonder, well, what are we talking about? How does this fit in? Today we're going to look at Mary. We're going to look at the Virgin Mary and how she stands at that same line of faith, and she's offering a yes in surrender that forever changes the course of history. It's not, I wonder if it's going to, it did. And so this week, as we continue on in our series of Unexpected Glory, we move from God breaking the silence. How long was the Lord silent before he met Zechariah? Anybody remember last week? How many years? 400 years the Lord had been silent. No prophet, no word, nothing. No move, it was silent. There is nothing written in that time period besides the Lord was silent. So we move from the Lord breaking silence in the temple to God inviting surrender to the ordinary. Surrender to a regular person. Surrender to an ordinary village. Last week we watched God meet Zechariah in the holy place when he went in to atone for the sins. Today we see that God's going to meet Mary in Nazareth, a place that no one expected, and invites her into a calling that she could never foreseen on her own intuition. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you please open it to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Before we look at what God is teaching, what I believe the Lord has for us today, as we look through Mary's response, we're going to take a moment. We're just going to read through the entire passage together, and then we're going to take it in chunks and go through it and pull out some of the key details. So if you are ready, go ahead and hit that first slide for me, Zach, to get us to our scripture. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, we saw Gabriel last week, didn't we? He's the angel that showed up in the temple to Zechariah, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying. Remember what Zechariah's response was last week. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. Time out. What was the promise that Gabriel gave to Zechariah last week? That they would have a child. So this is, the angel is telling Mary, your relative Elizabeth, even though she's old in age, she is pregnant with child, she's in her sixth month. Okay? So we're seeing the fruition of that. So, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. She was called barren because she could not have child. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Surrender. Surrender. And the angel departed from her. Nazareth was a quiet an easily overlooked town. It wasn't a place that people visited. Rather, it was a place that they passed. Does anyone know a town like that? Right here, New Sharon. And in that setting, Mary lived a life that was marked by simplicity and routine. Everyday, normal life. She was young, she was preparing for marriage, and likely she was imagining a future shaped by ordinary rhythms and familiar expectations, just life as we know it, right? Yet it was into this very normal moment that God chose to move, that God decided that she was the one. Without warning, without any idea that this was going to happen, the angel Gabriel appeared and delivered a message that forever reshaped not only Mary's life, but the story of the entire world. See, God chooses an overlooked place, an overlooked person, a regular, ordinary person, to announce the coming of the one who will redeem the world. Even before Jesus is born, his ministry is foreshadowed. We see, because he says he's going to hold the kingdom is forever. He meets the lowly and he reveals, and Mary is the lowly, he meets the lowly and he reveals his glory in unexpected places. Nothing about Mary's circumstances suggested that she was someone who God would choose. There's nothing in my circumstances that God would say, you're the one, that I would think. There's not. Listen, when you think you can't be used by the Lord, guess what? You're probably the most likely to be used by the Lord. We always heard never to say where you won't do or won't do or won't go or won't do for the Lord, because he'll send you there. And so we joked a few times. One, I won't ever go to Alaska. but really I won't ever go to Florida because the heat will kill me and I won't make it. But it's in the ordinary places, in the ordinary people that the Lord calls. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking, I can never be used by God, let me challenge that right now and tell you, you're wrong. Maybe he's calling you to Florida. And that's okay, as long as you're following what he has called you to do. She held no position of influence. She carried no public authority. And she had no reason to imagine that she would ever play a part in God's redemptive plan. But as we know, God often steps into unexpected places and he calls unexpected people, not because of what they can offer. Understand, there is nothing special about Mary. It had nothing to do with what she could offer, but it had everything to do who the Lord was. All she had to do was surrender the yes. That's it. The Lord did everything else. He brought it to fruition. That's it. And so with that setting in mind, we're going to see one of the central things, one of the central truths of the passage, that God reveals his glory through people and places we would never think to choose ourselves. Our first truth this morning, go ahead and click it one more time, there we go. God calls the unexpected. Mary's life did not look like the setting for a divine encounter. She wasn't in the temple. She wasn't in a sacred place. It doesn't even tell us she was currently praying or worshiping. It just says that the angel Gabriel showed up. She was simply living her life, likely surrounded by the everyday tasks, the things that are important, the things that need to be done, but not as important. And this is exactly where the Lord stepped in, because he could step into the regular. The same God that spoke to Gabriel, or that sent Gabriel to see Zechariah in the holy place, is the same God that sent Gabriel to speak to a woman from a pass-through town. He's the same God that speaks to you and I today. He's the same God that leads us and equips us and gets us ready for the things that he has called us for. And listen, Mary's initial response, what was it? She was greatly troubled. She was greatly troubled. She's trying to figure out what kind of a welcome or is a hello is this? Is this a good hello? Is this a bad hello? Because she didn't see herself as deserving or qualified. It was unknown why she was the one being visited. I can promise you, she didn't wake up that morning expected to be called by God, let alone finding out that she would be the one that was called favored and carried the Son of God, Jesus. But this is how God works. See, he delights in meeting us right where you are, right when you are, and not where you think you must be. So now let's take that to church. Guess what? You don't have to be perfect before you come in to the building. Christ is what makes us perfect. I, by nature, terrible, wicked, perverse. I mess up all the time. It's by the blood of Christ that I am made perfect. It is not by my ability. It's not by anything I do or say. It is by Christ alone. Now, God's favor, understand this, God's favor does not promise ease of life, but purpose of life. You've heard me say this before. Following Jesus is the greatest thing in your life that you can ever do. Your life will be so much better, not easier. Not easier. Nobody said easier, but your life will be better when you follow him. In Scripture, favored often means, when we look at the root words of it, it often means chosen for God's mission, even when that mission requires courage and costly obedience. And would you know that for Mary, this yes is very costly. It can cost a lot. It can cause a lot of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28, it says, God chose what is low and despised in the world. Go ahead and hit our impact statement there, Zach. God looks for the surrendered, not the impressive. put away your fancy resume. He looks for the surrendered, not the impressive. Yet God not only chooses unexpected people, he also invites them into callings that only his Holy Spirit can accomplish. He calls us into things that we are not able to do on our own, and that leads us to our next point, empowered by the Spirit. When Mary asked, "How can this be? Because I'm a virgin, how can this be?" she was expressing genuine openness rather than resistance. Now, in contrast, Zechariah was, "I'm an old man, my wife is in years." He was doubting it. But what Mary was doing, it was openness rather than resistance, rather than doubting. She wasn't rejecting God's word, she was just acknowledging her human limitations. Gabriel's response reveals the heart of the miracle, and that is, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The incarnation, the coming of Jesus in human flesh, was not something Mary could produce by effort or intention. Period. She couldn't replicate it if she tried 1,000 times. Could not. It was entirely the work of God's Spirit. She simply had to say yes. Here we witness the mystery of the incarnation. The eternal Son, Jesus, takes on the true form of humanity through the Spirit's power. And Jesus is not created here. This is just where he enters the world fully God and fully man. This is part of God's redemption plan. And Mary's role was not to make the miracle happen, but to receive what God alone could do. And isn't that so backwards for everything we try to do in life? We have to work for everything. We have to put our hands to it to make sure it turns out. She just had to stand back and let the Lord do what he would do. Her calling was supernatural, it was Spirit-initiated, and it was Spirit-sustained. She just had to surrender. In the same way, God still leads each of us today. He leads his people into places, into spaces even, where their own strength is not enough. He leads us to things that we cannot rely on ourselves because we are weak. But he wants us in that spot so we'll rely more fully on him and who he is. He invites us into that obedience that can only be carried out through his power. Because our power makes it about us. It says, "I accomplished this, not God did this." Because he's never going to leave us to accomplish his work alone. He's never going to say, "Okay, you've got it, run with it, go. It's all on you now." No, instead, he fills and he empowers us through his Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit." Our impact statement on this point is what God calls you to, his Spirit empowers you for. What God calls you to, his Spirit empowers you for. And yet the most impactful part of this passage is not simply what God intends to do, but it's how Mary responds to him, which leads us to our third point. And this is the power of yes. The power of yes. See, Mary stands as one of the most powerful declarations of faith in all of Scripture. She says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." That's a yes. Now, we don't know if there is anything happening from the time that Gabriel showed up to Zechariah to when the Lord showed up to Mary. It's not recorded, so we don't know. But we can presume that maybe it's not. And so we see the silence broken, and now we see surrender in Mary, and it's a declaration of faith. So there's not been, is what I'm trying to get at with there. It's not like there was prophets coming and talking to her and encouraging and building. She lived in the mundane every single day. The same thing that we're all doing, chasing life, it's mundane. We just do it over and over and over and over and over again. It's part of life. It's what we do. And so there was nothing besides, maybe it was her priest or it was her family. But as soon as Gabriel showed up and said this to her, her response is, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Angel shows up tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. and says, "You're going to be in Africa by tonight." Is our response? I got to read it because I don't have it memorized. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said." Is that our response? Is that what we say when the Lord calls us to do something? Or do we start checking our schedules? We look at our time. "My alarm's going to go off in 30 minutes, Gabriel. You better get going. I've got work to do today." It's funny, but listen. What's our response when the Lord calls us to something? Is it a yes? Or is it, let me check my convenient schedule and see if I can fit this in? Or is it surrender? Is it saying, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She didn't have every detail. Detail-oriented people, raise your hand. Come on, right? Listen, we need some details here. We need to know what's taking place. She did not know how others would respond. She did not understand how this calling would unfold, but she trusted the one who spoke. Her yes came with some severe potential costs. Let's look at those costs. Misunderstanding, judgment, a loss of reputation, personal sacrifice. Having a child, personal sacrifice, right? Mary's yes carried real risk. It even carried the chance of social shame, misunderstanding, rejection, kicked out of her family because she made the decision and she said yes to the Lord. And if we read, we see what was Joseph's response. Joseph had made a plan to quietly divorce her. He was going to leave because he didn't know. It wasn't until the angel came to him and said, "Hey, it's us. It's God. You're good. Marry her. Take her." He was ready to flee, right? Husbands, men, your wife's pregnant before your wedding night. You got some questions, right? So there was risk that was carried with this decision. Yet she trusted God's character above people's opinion. She trusted who she knew the Lord to be rather than what her neighbor thought. And what does that show us? That shows us that surrender often requires courage, even in the face of fear. We have to maintain courage. Yet her response remained rooted purely in surrender. She believed that God's word could be trusted above all else, even when his plan was beyond her understanding. How many of us can hold on and trust in his plan when we don't understand it? It's hard. Zechariah had struggled to believe. And what did his belief lead him to? Or his unbelief lead him to? Anybody remember what happened? Wives, how would that 9 months have been pregnant without your husband talking? That was a really good opportunity for everybody to, right? She thought it. Listen, silence. Because of his unbelief, the Lord said, "Nope, you're done talking. You're done talking until he is named John." And so Mary responded in humility and surrender, and her yes became the doorway through which God brought his son into the world. In Proverbs 3:5, everybody knows this, but let's just hit on the first one. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Our impact statement today is a surrendered yes creates space for unexpected glory. A surrendered yes creates space for unexpected glory. As we hold Zechariah's story and as we hold Mary's story and we put them together and we start seeing how God moves with his people, how God works in all of these situations. He comes in and he breaks silence. He stirs his spirit in people and he reveals his glory through surrendered hearts. Both stories remind us that God works in ways that we do not expect. Expect the unexpected. But God works in ways that we do not expect. And he invites ordinary people into his extraordinary plan. And I wonder this morning, what plan has God called you into that he is waiting for you to say yes? He is waiting for that surrender. In Zechariah, you can go to the last slide there, Zach. In Zechariah, God met a faithful priest in the temple, in the story of Zechariah. In this story with Mary, God meets a humble young woman in her home. Through both of these stories, God was preparing the world for Jesus. He was preparing the world for the coming of his son, showing that his glory does not appear only in grand moments, but also in simple, ordinary ones. And how was Jesus born into the world? In a manger, in a stable, amongst animals, not as a king coming with all the pomp and circumstance. Mary teaches us that surrender is not passive or weak. Instead, it is a profound act of faith. Her yes opened the way for God to do what only he could accomplish. She literally had nothing to do besides being obedient to it and saying, yes, Lord. But even as we honor Mary's obedience, we remember that the glory belongs to the one that she carries. She is just human. Like me, like you. Her surrender directs our attention to Jesus, who fulfills all of God's promises and transforms every hardened heart. And transforms even every surrendered heart. She didn't understand everything, and that's okay. But she trusted God enough to obey him. And I think that's the point of what we need to understand today. The same God who overshadowed Mary by his Spirit, he invites us into surrender today. He calls us into obedience that stretches our faith, that's going to take us further than we've ever been because we're saying yes to him. And he invites us today to trust him, even in the places where we feel uncertain or unqualified. Now, not to put you on the spot, but if you've ever felt unqualified, would you raise your hand? He invites us to trust him, even in areas where we feel unqualified and uncertain. When we say yes to him, we make room for his presence. We allow him to lead, to work in ways that we never could produce on our own, let alone imagine. So what is God asking you to surrender? Where is he asking you to surrender? Where is he inviting you to trust him beyond what you can see? What is the thing that the Lord is calling you? What step of obedience is he calling you to take? I don't have this on the screen, but if you want to write this down, you can. Unexpected glory is found on the other side of surrender. Unexpected glory is found on the other side of surrender. Mary's surrendered yes changed the world. Our yes looks much smaller, but it carries Christ, guess where, into our community. It carries Christ into our school, into our workplaces. It carries Christ into our community. And when we obey God, even in the everyday moments, we become part of His work in the lives of those around us. And this is why at Engage Church we are committed to engaging our community for Jesus. Because God uses surrendered people to reveal His glory in ordinary places. I think New Sharon is ready for a move of the Lord. When you surrender your yes, God reveals His glory. When you surrender your yes, God reveals His glory. If you would you bow your heads with me today? Heavenly Father, Lord, as we are bringing this to a close today, Lord, I pray that You have challenged each of us. Lord, that there is a word that You have placed on our hearts, on our minds. Lord, that You are calling us to that surrender. And Lord, would You help each of us to say yes, to make that step of faith, and to prepare, Lord, for what You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, would you stand to your feet this morning as we get ready to close? I just want to encourage everybody, even if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, listen, you're about to have an opportunity to say yes. But it's moments like these where when we respond, when we surrender, it changes the trajectory of our life forever. And so today I just want to ask, if you feel far from God today, first I want to say that Christmas reminds you of this simple truth. That's why we're going through this series. Jesus came into the world, guess what? To bring you home. Home's the greatest place to be. You go on vacation for 2 weeks, you can't wait to get home, can you? Jesus came into the world to bring you home. And listen, if you're sitting here thinking, nope, not me, no, He came to bring you home. If you've been distant or you found yourself drifting, and you're not really sure what you believe anymore, or if you've never truly surrendered your life to Him, right now, this is your moment. Romans 10:9 promises that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. You will be saved. So if you would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If that's you this morning, if you've never come to a place of surrender, if you've never said, Jesus, I need You. I need forgiveness of sins. If you're ready in this moment to place your trust in Jesus, would you just raise your hand right where you're at this morning? Is there anybody in the room? Praise the Lord. Listen, as we prepare to close and the worship team leads us in a song, I want to tell you, the altars are open. Every week they're open. We tell you they're open. But if God is asking you to surrender something today, come. If He's inviting you to take a step of faith today, come. Meet with Him. And then on the flip side of that, if you need strength, if you need some courage to say that yes, come. If you need faith to take that first step or that second step, come. If you need surrender, if you need to surrender to His plan, come. As we worship this morning, allow God to draw you deeper. Allow God to draw your heart more into His presence, more in tune with Him. And leave here today marked by His purpose. Amen.